Well, good morning once again. Your word, Lord. Teach us your word. Show us your ways. Show us what's in our hearts, Lord, that needs to be changed. Lord, move through this congregation today. We give you permission to change what you want to change. We give you permission, Lord, to deal with us. Oh, Lord, don't deal with us according to what we deserve. Deal with us, please, according to your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I believe that should be everybody's favorite song, Lord. And it was mine. Thank you, Lord. Open up heaven for us this morning, Lord, please. Open up your word and open up our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're a beautiful, imperfect person." That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? But it's the truth. Yeah. Our friend Pearl Offrey. Does everybody know Pearl? Pearl and Joe? They've been stuck in Canada for the last couple of years, and it looks like they're going to be able to break through the border. No, they've been trying. They come down every year, and they, for many years, they helped out in our kitchen. Anyway, Pearl Offrey, she shared something on Facebook. They got my attention. Five things Jesus Christ did not say. Jesus did not say, "Follow your heart." Jesus said, "Follow me." Jesus did not say, "Be true to yourself." Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself." Jesus did not say, "Believe in yourself." Jesus said, "Believe in me." Jesus did not say, "Live your truth." Jesus said, "I am the truth." Jesus did not say, "As long as you're happy." Jesus said, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" I'm going to be talking about the gospel today. I'm going to try to cover what is the gospel and what isn't the gospel. Recently, don't you just love Facebook? You post something and people just jump all over you about it. I posted one of those memes, I guess they're called, that showed a comparison between a certain pastor, I'm not even going to mention his name, and what Paul the Apostle said. This pastor was talking about the power of I am. He's not talking about the power of I am, he's talking about the power of self, I am. And what he's saying is that I'm sufficient in myself. Instead of talking about God's sufficiency, I am beautiful. Of course, everybody is, right? I am prosperous. As if just saying the words can make it so. Does God want you to be prosperous? If he does, you'll be prosperous. God won't give us more than we can handle. Abraham was a very rich man. But Abraham was able to handle everything God gave him. I'm not a rich man because I'd probably go out and blow it. I'd probably get myself in all kinds of trouble. God knows that. Man's sufficiency as opposed to God's sufficiency. Did I say man's sufficiency? John 15:5 says, without Christ you can do nothing. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It's not I can do all things because I'm sufficient. I can do all things because through him, because he's sufficient. This pastor doesn't talk about sin. At least not very often. I've never heard him. I don't listen to him a whole lot, of course. He doesn't talk about repentance. Of course, that's a word that people don't like to hear a sermon on, isn't it? The R word. Repentance, oh no. But you can't believe without repenting, and you can't repent without believing. It's all part of it. This pastor has said publicly that Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. If Jesus isn't the only way to heaven, then why'd he die on the cross? He said in that garden, he said, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. There was no other way. Because Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This pastor's message is a feel-good message, and his church is very, very large. Because that's what people want to hear. Feel good. Sunshine, lollipops, puppy dogs, rainbows and unicorns. The gospel. I'm not as good at pronouncing Greek words as I am at pronouncing Hebrew words. So I'm not even going to try this. Anyway, the Greek word for the gospel, it means evangelize or evangelism. It means announcing the good news. Literally, it means the good news, but to announce the good news. The gospel doesn't always have the appearance of good news. The book of Philippians is called the gospel of joy. The word joy in one form or another, either joy or rejoice, is found in there 17 times. Yet in several places it speaks of affliction and suffering. Is that part of the gospel? Yes. And not only in Philippians, but in 2 Timothy 1, in verse 8, Paul encourages us to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Why? Maybe God has a reason. I think he has a reason for everything he does. I like to say I have a reason for everything I do. It's not always a good reason, but I have a reason for everything I do. But God has a good reason for everything he does. Be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's the gospel. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and I'm going to quote it from the New King James Version, Says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Do you think maybe God's got a purpose for that? For everything that happens? He's building something. He's not just building a church, he's building people. He's got that potter's wheel that he puts us on, and we can feel him tugging at the clay, right? Shaping us and forming us. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Sounds pretty good so far, doesn't it? Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, or it does not disappoint. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The gospel. The word gospel is not mentioned in the Old Testament. But it's mentioned quite a few times in the New Testament. Matthew has the word the gospel 5 times. Mark has 6 times. Luke has 4 times. John doesn't even use the word gospel. And yet, it's all through there, isn't it? The book of Acts, 6 times. Revelations, 1 time. The epistles of Peter, 4 times. Hebrews, 1 time. And Paul's epistles, 73 times. Unless you count Hebrews, because he may have written Hebrews. I'm inclined to think that maybe he did, but I could be wrong. So that would make 74. What a difference, huh? The gospel is referred to in many ways with different names. The gospel of faith. What good is the gospel without faith? Is it even possible? The gospel of grace. Why is that important? The gospel of grace. The gospel of grace cannot be preached without preaching the need for the grace of the gospel. Everybody get that? I'm going to repeat it. The gospel of grace cannot be preached without preaching the need for the grace of the gospel. And what is the need? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Sin is very real. Hell is very real. Anybody in this room, were you headed for hell like I was? But God. The most beautiful two words in the Bible, but God. While I was still a sinner, while I was still without strength, Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. You know, we can talk all the time about the love of God, but without talking about what the love of God saved us from, what's the point? That has to be part of the gospel. That has to be part of the message. The love of God, everything God does, he does out of love. He is love. Everything. We may not understand it, but everything he does out of love. Romans 11:22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee, goodness. Kind of makes me think I want to be on God's good side, doesn't it? And how do we do that? By accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord, admitting we've sinned, and asking Him to forgive us. The gospel. We need to share the gospel. Every aspect of it. In the book of Ezekiel, well, you see it in chapter 3 and also in 33. I've got it written down here, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. What it says, it talks about a watchman. You see somebody that's heading for trouble, you warn them. You see somebody heading for hell, you warn them. If you don't, his blood is on you. That's serious business, isn't it? It's also referred to as the gospel of peace. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:14-15, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The gospel is also referred to as the gospel of your salvation. That kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? Once again, 2,000 years ago, God Himself took on flesh, walked the earth, lived a sinless life, and died on a cross for me. What's that? You too? You too. The gospel of the kingdom. Mark 1:14-15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You know, the first message Jesus preached was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's the same message John the Baptist preached. Repent. That's good news. Why should he even care about me? Why should he care about any of us? But he does, doesn't he? In Romans 16:25, Paul refers to the gospel as my gospel. It's personal to Paul, and it should be personal to us. We need to take possession of it, and we need to share all of it. But always, always, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's about Him. It doesn't matter what I've done in my life, as long as I've asked for forgiveness, it's not about me, it's about Him. I don't attain salvation by my works or anything I've done. The only thing I'm entitled to through what I've done is hell. Don't ever ask God to give you what you deserve. No, don't want to do that. The gospel of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned before, the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. He has become my salvation. He has become my Yeshua. And in case you don't know, I think most people do, that's Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua. It means salvation. He is salvation. And that salvation is freely given to all that would ask for it. The gospel. The good news. You get right down to it. The good news is in the solution. the solution that God put into place before there was a problem, before the foundation of the world. Before we needed it, God provided it. Because he knew. He knew everything I was going to do. He loves me anyway. In fact, in Psalms 18, it talks about he delighted in me. He doesn't just love me, he likes me. You know, that amazes me even more than him loving me. Because I never, loving me, he's supposed to do that. That's his job, right? But liking me, I haven't always been likable. But there you go. The gospel. The good news. Because it's all good news. It all tells, not just of what the solution is, but also what the problem was. And we need to remember that. We need to remember where we were, where he brought us from. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your gift of salvation. I thank you, Lord, every day where you brought me from, where I was. And one day you just said, nope, no more. Lord, I'm not the only one with that story. No matter where we were, you were there. And you chose us before the foundation of the world. And you came up with the solution for the biggest problem we could ever have. Lord, bless your word into our hearts today. Engraft it in our being. Help us, Lord, to always remember the gospel's about what you did for us. Bless your people today, Lord, please. Keep us close to you. Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. We love you and we want to obey your commandments. But Lord, sometimes we need your help. A lot of times we need your help. We rely on your sufficiency. Strengthen us so that we can be strong in you and in the power of your might. Be with us today, Lord, as we go our ways. And I pray, Lord, that you bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service tonight at 6 o'clock. You're all welcome. Look forward to seeing each one of you.